Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Well, let's start the insanity. Giddy up.
New York Bozo! New York!
Okay, all right. As Tex Western yawns on the video camera, that about sums up how we feel. 118-4, the final. No, I'm just kidding. 38-10, the final score. The Buccaneers trouncing the Packers in what I thought was a surprising outcome. This is our first time doing one of these with a loss, and what a stinker we have. So let's just get right into it. We are two schlitz to the wind here on our rapid recap pod, part of the APC podcast from acmepackingcompany.com and SB Nation. Follow us on Twitter at the APC pod for more sardonic BS following this game. I am Zach Rapport, and I am joined today to diagnose this bloodbath real quick. For you guys, we have a twofer here on the co-host train. So firstly, my buddy Evan Tex Western there with some kind of cosmic background on your what's going on, Evan? How are you?
Well, I mean, I'm shitty after that game for sure, but no, that's a Dream Theater album cover going on back there. But
prog rock, no, gotcha.
Figure, you know, it's time for some whiskey after that shit.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. I got my beer in hand. I stayed sober for the whole game, and it was a sobering affair. So I just had to, in order to talk about it, I thought I'd get a little bit loose. But one of the things that I love about doing this rapid recap show is the way that I sometimes have to scramble to find a co-host mid-game, and that causes me to occasionally have to eat some crow, because a few weeks ago it was Jason Hirshhorn who reminded me on air that it had been nearly 3 years since he'd been on the show, and this time... Wow, I mean, it's like criminal negligence on my part to have never had this guy on. My bad, my very, very bad. His name is Matt, but you can call him Matub at Call Me Matub on Twitter. Matub, what's up? How are you?
I'm good. So I'm the exact opposite of Tex. My tradition after a win is to drink bourbon. And so I'm punishing myself with a Key Lime LaCroix.
Ooh, a LaCroix boy for a little self-flagellation. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the victory bourbon is not coming out.
Oh, man.
Which actually, speaking of, I was in Buena Vista all weekend, and there is a place called like Deer House. I had a whiskey flight. I had a American single malt, it was like a hickory smoked whiskey, and then a bourbon. And all of them were phenomenal. Highly recommend if you're in Buena Vista, go to Deer House, drink some whiskey. It's
there
great.
You go. Hickory smoked.
Better than that game. Hey.
Yeah, well, the Packers got hickory smoked, and I don't know where. Ooh, a spit take. All right, an authentic spit take. Thank you. I don't know where to begin, but let's start here, guys. On our Bucks preview with Gene Thomas on our airwaves here, Gene referred to Rodgers as Joe Cool, and that he always looked cool and calm and collected, even when shit was hitting the fan. Well, a rare pick six and another pick shortly thereafter, and suddenly, Tex, I don't know about you, but Rodgers looked shook, man. Did you get that impression?
Ugh, it was bad. And I think it started on that pick six. I mean, you could tell he was thrown off his back foot on that throw. You know, that throw to Adams up the sideline, and all of those bad fundamentals seemed like they kept flooding back then after that for the rest of the game. The fadeaway throws, not throwing to open receivers in rhythm and kind of trying to scramble and play hero ball a little bit. It looked like, you know, a lot of 2018 and some of 2019 all over again for him. And not good. Not great, Bob.
Oh, not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob.
I have it there. I'm not too many schlitz in that I can't find things on the board. But Tub, what was your takeaways from Rodgers here, sort of watching this sort of quick unraveling here over the course of this game?
Yeah, it was exactly what Tex did. Like my first thought when that pick happened was he underthrew an out route, which he hasn't done all year. And Yep. Like that was something that 2018 Rodgers did. Like, and that's just going to be the echo chamber for the week, is we're going to talk about the Ben Baldwin was right and Rodgers is no longer elite. And it's going to be a very easy hottest take of the week for me this week.
A nice little plug there for your segment. I like
self-plug.
That. Very, very professional. Let's talk about the defense for a second, because why not? 38 points.
Do we have to?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Okay.
Texas, I mean, the defense only really gave up 17, right?
That's fair.
I mean, I'd give them 24. I mean, they had the two picks. You got your pick six, and then that second one coming right down to the 2-yard line. So I'll take 14 points off the board for them. But yeah, that's still a 24-point game against an offense that has looked okay to, you know, to decent.
Yeah.
For most of this year.
Well, and also the Packers defense generating zero pass rush in this game. Brady's jersey looking like he just got off the damn bus. Do we think this was an isolated incident? Are we worried at all going forward with how the opposing quarterback had all day?
I don't know what to make of this game. I really don't know. You know, it'll probably take a rewatch to kind of look at this a little bit more thoroughly and see if I can figure out anything. But, you know, there were a couple of points early on in this game where it seemed like there was a little bit of pass rush there. Rashawn Gary had the one rush where he just drove Donovan Smith right back into Brady's lap. And then he got there a split second late. But that was a great rush. And then he, you know, got flagged for the face mask.
And then he poked him in the eye just for good measure.
He poked him in the eye, and you know, but that was one of those plays where I'm like, okay, we're finally getting a little bit of pass rush generated, a little bit of pressure coming. And then there was just nothing the whole rest of the game. And I don't know, you know, I can't explain that, especially after these guys have been so good. You know, Z was so great 2 weeks ago against Atlanta. I don't know if there was something schematically that Tampa was doing differently that, you know, didn't give him any one-on-one opportunities or what, but there was just no pressure whatsoever on Brady basically the entire game.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, I thought of this while you were talking, but the game, we talked about this a little bit in our previews, but the games opened up a week ago. It was, I think, Packers plus three. So the Packers were dogs, 3-point dogs, and then the Bucs were 1-point favorites, and this is the result. I don't know. I just, like, what is it? What do we think that means about Vegas? What Vegas thought was going to happen, and what actually happened? I don't know. My head's spinning after this game, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's exactly my reaction.
Maybe that was the old, you know, Vegas knew what they were doing and then adjusted the lines to compensate for what, you know, what the fans were thinking with the betting trends. And, you know, maybe we should just, you know, believe them once in a while.
So, well, I think Vegas always knows more than what people lead on. Like, look at, so Matt LaFleur's history after a bye is minimal, but it's there. Matt LaFleur's history after a bye is walking into a team with a good defense and getting shellacked. And so now we're 2-for-2 on coming out of a bye and getting just destroyed by a good defense.
I don't have my phone on me. I'd read the text, but I got a text from an old buddy of mine just before halftime that said something along the lines of, "Great, we're going to get blown out on national TV again. I mean, it's just like, no matter how good we think this team is, there's a marquee game on national TV, whether it's in the playoffs or otherwise, where they just lay a friggin' egg, man.
Yeah, they do it, but I will stand up for this team, at least on that narrative, after going into New Orleans 3 weeks ago and beating them on Sunday Night Football.
Fair.
I think that to me was a big, I thought that was going to be a big step for this team.
You've restored my pride 5%. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, that's been a story. I mean, we've had that storyline for years now about this team, you know, dropping the ball on the road in prime time. And I really thought that was going to be kind of a turning point in that Saints game. And I clearly should have been more realistic with my expectations for this game.
Well, I guess, you know, we talked a little bit about this, Talbot, I can get your opinion on this, but, in our preview, you know, Gene Thomas made a big point of saying, you know, the first four games of this COVID season are really preseason. And, you know, we as Packers fans had been allowed ourselves to get so excited, so swept up in the optimism and the success of the first four games, lest we forget, at least on our show, in the weeks leading up to the season, we're like, we don't really know how much we can take away from this first four games. So I don't know. Do you buy into that at all after?
So I'm on team. No one knows anything until week eight, regardless of the season. If it's a normal season, if it's a COVID season, no one knows anything until week eight.
I like that. Really hedging your bets halfway through.
But, I mean, but like, that's my brand, man. Yeah. Like, that's, like, so a team can come out red hot. A team can start awful. Like, you can go with Justice Mosqueda and start predicting playoffs after a team goes 1-0. Like, okay, now you have a 57% chance of making
a shot at Justice.
Justice was interesting during the game, so I felt like giving him a shout out.
oh,
but yeah, he's got the list. It's like a chart of playoff percentages based on wins.
Gotcha.
And yeah, when the Packers started 1-0, I think it was like 57% chance to make the playoffs. Like, guys, we don't know anything. Anything can happen. But what I do know is the Packers played their two hardest road games already in a time without fans, and so. Maybe we look back at the New Orleans game instead of being a turning point, like, hey man, maybe if there were fans, the Packers would have got whooped. Like, Rodgers' hard count was a massive part of the New Orleans game.
And that's something that Jason Hirschhorn and I talked about immediately following the game in our post-game chat, was that whether or not we thought that made a difference. And he thought very much so it did. You kind of can't really make the case otherwise. Tex, what do you say to that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how many fans they had in Tampa, but clearly that was not a factor, Rodgers' hard count in this game. Whatever, you know, small number of people they had in the stands, you know, was enough to negate that factor, or else they just didn't use it. You know, one of the other things that was frustrating to me, and maybe this was a little bit of missing Tyler Irvin, but a lot of the pre-snap motion that they have run this year didn't seem to be there. They used it a little bit with Aaron Jones for a while early on, but they kind of seemed to get away from that, you know, really in the second quarter, kind of after that momentum shift. And I thought that was really kind of frustrating to see them get away from something like that has been such a source of big plays and, you know, positive yardage for them this season. So I don't know, maybe they missed Tyler Irvin more than we necessarily expected that they would on offense, with all the different looks and things that he can bring, you know, as a decoy in that offense.
Yeah, I know. I noticed just two overly polite guys. Oh no, please. You go ahead. I noticed that as well. And I wonder, you know, we've been praising Matt LaFleur, but is there no one else who knows those calls in terms of being the motion guy? It has to be Aaron Jones / doing it 25% of the time you would normally do it.
Sure, but you also got to look at the available, like can people do those things? Like,
right.
Like Aaron Jones did a pretty good job of pretending to be Tyler Irvin, but Jamal Williams can't pretend to be Aaron Jones.
Yeah, fair.
So like
you're coming back to the show. That's a great point.
the offense is set up for, like, you can say scheme over everything, but like the scheme is kind of built around the roster.
Yep.
And yeah, like, yeah, maybe Tyler Irvin is super important, but Tyler Irvin allows Aaron Jones to be Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones allows Jamal Williams to be Jamal Williams, and Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and ESB looked terrible.
Like,
yeah, it didn't look good.
My status as the EQ stan on Acme Packing Company is hurting right now, because yeah, he had a garbage game. And I hope that's just rust, because I really thought that they'd be able to slide him into that Alan Lazard role and he'd be able to function pretty seamlessly. That obviously did not happen today. I just hope with another week or two of practice and kind of getting back into the swing of things that he'll be able to produce a little bit.
I may have a little bit of beer brain. Maybe you guys can rattle my memory a little bit, but when Devontae missed time last season and then he came back, didn't they get spanked when he came back? Am I making that up? I might be making that up.
Guess when he came back?
I don't remember.
After the bye.
After the bye.
Yeah.
Seems like a trend.
Yeah, no, they were. Or no, I'm sorry. No, that was the he came back for the Chargers game, right? It was the Chargers game
right,
week 9.
So Devontae comes back against a good defense.
Yeah.
Packers get shellacked. Packers play good defense after the after the bye. So this was just a combination. That's why the loss was so terrible, because it was those two things at the same time.
Ah, you think Vegas would have remembered that? Come on, guys. Tex, do you think that does this immediately throw cold water on the Rodgers MVP bid this game? I mean, a pick six followed by a pick immediately.
Absolutely. And it's certainly well in the national media, having a game where he goes out and has the second worst passer rating of his life, that immediately shuts down any possibility, at least for right now, of him being in the discussion, with Russell Wilson playing the way he's been playing. Obviously he's on a bye this week, but this is just going to give the Wilson supporters just that much more ammo.
I've always thought the national media is very nice and gentle with him. I don't know where you're coming from with this.
Yeah, about that.
So you guys, I'm sure your listeners don't know about my brand. I believe in one sports curse, and that's the curse of Kurt Warner.
Explain. So
Kurt Warner robbed of the MVP in his second year as a starter. Marshall Faulk got it. That was the year that the Patriots beat the greatest show on turf in the Super Bowl. Since then, since Kurt Warner won MVP and won the Super Bowl, no Super Bowl has been won by a team holding the NFL MVP. And so Aaron Rodgers just tanked his MVP chances so his team could win the Super Bowl.
That's it.
Yes. I like it. Keep those chemtrails coming. I like those conspiracies.
Why is it that only bad things happen when the Packers play in Tampa? Like, two of Rodgers' three pick sixes have come in Tampa Bay. And then there was the whole leg injury in 2014 down the stretch. I moved the Packers never play in Tampa again. Yes. Yeah. The sap hit on Clifton. Like, I moved that the Packers never play in Tampa or California ever again.
We can just saw those states off into the ocean and it'll be fine. All right. Well,
one's on a fault line and one's a flood risk. So I think we actually got a pretty good chance.
Just wait it out. Just get everyone to stomp real hard in unison and we'll figure it out. All right, guys. Well, I think we should wrap it up. But one thing that I think sums up this game was that in the fourth quarter, it was like 12-ish minutes left, maybe 13. A Brady pass doinks off the receiver's head and flies in the air between three Packers defenders, and it just falls incomplete. It was like they might as well have just like butted heads like a cartoon. And it's just one of those little reminders that the Bucs were just going to get every single bounce of the ball going their way in this game. So how's this for a silver lining? Several games worth of stuff going wrong happened in like three quarters. And while there is stuff to learn from this game, it does feel a little bit like an anomaly. I don't know, Tex, what do you think?
Well, I got two thoughts about that play. One is it's that play felt like a play from the early season montage in Major League when everything is going wrong. And you know, they're just kicking the ball around all over the place. The other thought is, our buddy Peter Bukowski said that starting in the second quarter, that felt like a game that the CPU in Madden wants you to lose.
Yeah, there's just no way you're getting
there. And it just kind of felt like that was how it was shaken out.
Yep. I can't disagree with that. Yeah. Tub, any closing thoughts from Q on this? Are you just gonna keep punishing yourself with a lime LaCroix?
Oh, I've actually already finished said
housed lime. Housed it.
Just housed the lime LaCroix.
Just the pain right down the gullet.
Well, I should rephrase. It's key lime. The only good LaCroix.
That's a good one.
But no, it is. It's just everything kind of went wrong. You could point at like there were some really bad calls by the officials, but the team also beat themselves, so you can't really just pin that on the officials. It was a bad game all around. I made a joke that I was like, I'm just going to watch the 2014 Packers Bills game instead.
Which is the only other game that Rodgers has ever had a worse passer rating than he did today.
There we go.
Oh man. So, statistical there were more drops nuggets, in that man. Game, though.
Yeah. Jordy had the long one in that game that should have gone for a touchdown. And this one was just, yeah, there were very few of those opportunities. I mean, Rodgers missing that seam route to Mercedes, like that one felt like, you know, if there was going to be a play where they could maybe have a chance to get back into it, if he hits Mercedes on that, he's not going all the way because Mercedes is probably slower than I am at this point. Yeah. No offense, Mercedes, if you're listening, but that would have been a huge gain and probably set him up in scoring position. So
yeah. Well, yeah, and also the MVS in the two spot, faking the fade and running the deep crosser was a beautiful route by him. I can't believe he finally does like the thing he's supposed to do, and Rodgers misses him.
He missed him. Yeah. Yep. That about sums it up. All right, guys.
And Rodgers missed him.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for us here on the Rapid Recap Show. Some laughter to cover up the tears here as the Packers fall to the Buccaneers. Fall is putting it lightly. Plummet down to earth, 38-10 in Raymond James Stadium out in Tampa, a place that we hope they never have to go to again. Everybody, again, if we could just get you to stomp real hard, maybe we could just sink the state into the ocean. But we are going to be back with you guys on Wednesday morning to dive a little bit deeper into this, because we love pain here. At the APC Pod on Twitter is where you can find us, at Zach Rapport, at Evan Tex Western, and at Call Me Matub. Matub, thank you for taking some time with your key lime. All right, guys, I'm going to hit this button and we're going to drink what we got to drink.
Woo!
And that's it. Go Pack, go.